Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find your name is power. Your name
preview.
I can see the light in the darkness. As the darkness bows to him.
Music has this thing that it pulls out of us, you know, it connects with our emotions that we have inside of us. Maybe it's if you're listening to the right song, it brings those tears to your eyes because of the sound of the music and the sound of the words as they come out. Or if it's the right kind of song, it gets you all excited and you're ready to go. And, you know, there's different kinds of music that you put on if you're doing a workout as opposed to when you're doing meditation and prayer. And those, I mean, maybe you use the same kind of music for that, but you can actually, if you want to run an 8-minute mile, you can find certain songs that are going to push you to run an 8-minute mile because of the beat that's coming out of it. It connects with us on this inner level. And then it connects, if you know, we stop and we think about it, connects with the memories that we often have. Like I can, if there are certain songs come on, like Ring of Fire, takes me back to wood shop class in high school, because at the end of every class, our teacher would put on Ring of Fire, and all of us boys whose voices hadn't dropped yet would try and hit those low notes, and it just sounded horrible, and it takes me back to that moment. Or maybe it takes you back to the moment when you first met your significant other, and it brings up this memory inside of you, or possibly it brings up a negative memory because of a song that just reflects upon, or it was playing at the time that something bad happened in your life. But they pull us back into these things. Music has power. It also has power to divide us, if we're being real honest. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I definitely had a different style of music than my dad had. And so there was some division there on what kind of music that we liked. And there's, I mean, we like more of the same kinds now, but there's still some division there. And we've seen the division happen in, you know, society at large, as hip-hop has become a bigger and bigger thing, and older generations often, and when I say older, I don't just mean the gray hairs, but older generations hear this, and they're sitting there, and they're going, I'm not sure about this stuff, or they're just going, that stuff is just downright evil. And so it causes us to have this division. If we're being real honest about the history of the church, music has found its way as a way of uniting us, or dividing us in the church because of the connections that we have to something and the memories that we have. And we pull out all sorts of accusations as, you know, that song, that doesn't have any depth to it, or that one repeats too many times, or that one sounds too much like, you know, that music you hear on the radio, and all of these different conversations that we could get into that we're not going to this morning. But music has this great power to pull out these awesome side of us, or it has a great power to pull out division among us and to pull out some negative feelings among us. And so over the course of the next several weeks, what we want to do is we want to take some time and we want to dig into some of the songs that we sing here and what's going on behind these. Because really, every song has some sort of story behind it. Maybe it's a deep story. Maybe it's got a lot of meat to it. Maybe it's a, you know, we would look at it and say, well, that's got something, but you're really reaching on that one. But every story has some song behind it. That's actually, going back to that hip-hop that I talked about a little bit ago, that's one of the reasons that hip-hop is so popular, because hip-hop is all about story. Hip-hop is all about life experience and singing about it with a different rhythm. And that's partially why it bothers some of us so much, is because it's sharing the true feelings and emotions of the person who's writing that music. But anyway, we're not here to talk about hip-hop either. Music has power, and words have power too. You know, Jesus, or, you know, well, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, it's all one. Sometimes we go back and forth on which one we say, but he actually, a long time ago, he gave us this little proverb that we could live by when he said that there is power of life and there's power of death in the tongue. that what we say really makes a difference. The words that come out of our mouth can bring life to somebody or they can bring death to somebody. We've all at some point either been the recipients of or been the givers of idle words that we didn't stop to think anything about, but they caused serious damage to somebody else. To us, they were just this little joke. To us, they were this thing that we didn't think about. But to the person who received them, or maybe we were on the receiving end, they hurt. And we know what that feels like. In today's PC culture, we know how much damage an idle word that we just kind of throw out there can do, and how it can be taken and it can be turned into so many different things. Oh, if you're looking at there and you're seeing the blanks in there, I've got to remind myself that I have blanks on the screen today. The tongue has the power of life and death. There's your blanks for you. I'll try and remember what we did back there, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm probably going to forget. But anyway, as we go on here, idle words can cause damage, and we all know what that feels like, but we all long for those words that build us up. Now, we may say that we're not a real emotional person, and you know those kinds of things don't really affect us, but really, if we're being honest, I think all of us would have to say that we long for those words that would build us up and would encourage us and that would bring life into our lives. We just sang a song that encapsulates what it's like when we use words to bring life into somebody's life. In March of 2020, which you know is that year that we're trying to get to the point that we don't talk about because we just think that we can act like it never happened, but in March of 2020, Carrie Job and Cody Carnes got together and they began to start writing a song. They didn't know where they were going to start with this, but they began to write a song. And to write this song, they went to this thing that's been around for a long time called Scripture. And as they were reading through Scripture, they came across Numbers chapter 6. And as they got to Numbers chapter 6, they found these words in verse 22, starting in verse 22. If you want to turn there, it'll also be on the screen. But in verse 22, Moses has had all these rules as far as the temple goes and what the priests do and all these different things, and we're not going to get into all of those. But then he gives this command from God to Aaron and the priests who will follow him. He says, "Then the Lord," in verse 22, "then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace.'" That should sound a little bit familiar to us this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face and give you peace. Straight out of Scripture, those words were written. And I know that we sing through the song, and it's sometimes tempting to, as we're singing through that song, to be like, man, this is really repetitive. Like, we literally, if you look at that song written down, you will see that it is one verse that is repeated, and it is one chorus that's repeated, and then they throw in a little bridge in there, and then they actually go back and they repeat that verse and they repeat that chorus. But the power in those words, the power in the Scripture that is being sung, you can almost stop and imagine Moses telling Aaron to sing those words over the people at the end of every daily gathering that they had. To at the end of every day, over the people, say, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. May his favor be over you, and may he give you peace." And that's what he told him to do. And here we are, thousands of years later, able to sing the very same thing. To sing Scripture among each other. But what in the world, because we use the word sometimes, but we don't often stop and necessarily think about what it means. What does it mean when we say, "The Lord bless you"? I mean, Actually, I hear somebody sneezing over here. What would we normally do? God, perfect timing, whoever that was, thank you for sneezing right in that moment. God bless you. What in the world does that mean to say God bless you? I mean, that actually came from, if my history is correct, when, you know, people discovered that when you sneeze, your heart for like a split second stops, and so they would say God bless you because they're hoping that you come back to life after that split second. I don't know if that's true at all. That might have been one of those urban myths that I was taught in Kansas as a kid. We had some different education stuff there. I don't know. But that was where that came from, I've been told anyway. But what does it mean to say that, you know, God bless you, the Lord bless you and keep you? Well, since we don't often walk around outside of the church anyway and saying, you know, hey, bless you, and blessings upon all of you, if we look at this word bless in the Hebrew in the original meaning, there's actually a couple different pronunciations that we come up with, but it's either Baruch or Barak. And as we get to this word, what it literally means is to kneel. Not what we would typically think of when we think of what it means to bless somebody. It means to kneel. The Lord kneel in front of you. Well, that doesn't sound right, because aren't we supposed to kneel in front of the Lord? Aren't we supposed to get down and to worship Him? But imagine this. Imagine a parent who has a child who's struggling. Imagine a parent who has a child who's afraid. Imagine a parent who has a child who isn't sure about what's coming next. And that parent gets down in front of them on their level and assures them that they are secure. Assures them that I am here to take care of you. I am here to provide for your needs. Not all your wants. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your parent. But I'm here to provide for your needs and to take care of you so that you can have comfort and peace, so that you don't have to worry about the monsters in the closet, because I've already taken care of the monsters in the closet. You don't have to worry about the food on the table, because I'll take care of the food on the table. You don't have to worry about all the things of the future, because I'm going to be here to walk along beside you. The Lord kneels in front of us to offer us that security that we are so much longing for. And it's real easy to miss this little promise, actually big promise, but this little short pressure in Numbers, because Numbers, if we're being honest, it's not our favorite book of the Bible to go read. I mean, this little piece is found in the middle of a bunch of laws. It's found in the middle of a bunch of census going on, like taking of a census. It's found in the middle of all these reports of this family and this family. And then all of a sudden, after, like I said, Moses has been receiving the instructions as far as how the priests are to operate in the temple, he says, hey, and give this blessing over them. And then we go on, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Numbers isn't interesting anymore again. And it's so easy to think of the Old Testament as this book of just rules upon rules, and there's these punishments, and there's these Israelite people that just keep making really dumb mistakes. Like, how in the world do they not figure out that this is going to cause a problem? And we get all distracted by those things, and we see some of the punishment that the Father has to give, the justice that the Father has to give, and we get so distracted by that that we miss that in the midst of this, He is constantly coming to these people and blessing them and offering them the security that they don't deserve to have. The security that they continually just chuck out the window. Do everything that they're not supposed to do, and yet He still keeps coming back to them. And He has still told Aaron and all the priests that are going to follow him, at the end of every day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He give you peace, and may He give you comfort. May He take care of you. Often when we say that we're blessed, what we mean is we've got all sorts of wants. We've got the cars, we've got the house, we've got a big family, we've got all these kinds of things. That's not the blessing that he's guaranteeing us. That's not the blessing that he's putting a promise over. It's not a promise of everything's going to be easy. It's a promise of I'm going to be here. And you don't ever have to doubt whether or not that I will be here, and I will be here to give you comfort, and I will be here to give you peace. And the thing about it is that when we receive blessing, it's kind of like having food in the fridge. We can save it. We can ignore that it's there. We can hoard it. And what does it do? Anybody? It spoils. Now, yes, I know that we have preservatives and all those kinds of things, and we have found ways to make food last unnaturally long in our fridge and all that kind of stuff, but in general, the food that goes in the fridge is in the fridge for a reason, and if we just let it sit there, then we're going to lose it. The same goes for the blessings of God. The same goes for this security that if we just ignore it, if we just hoard it for ourselves, then it's there to be lost. He actually tells us in, if you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, this is one of those signs that this isn't just one of those, you know, Old Testament passages that isn't really a promise for us, that it's, you know, it was a promise for the Israelites, and sometimes we like to claim Israelite promises as our own promises, and that's not what he meant. He was showing us the whole story. But this is evidence that that promise in Numbers is also for us when in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble spirit. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate insults when people insult you." So there's our words and the power. "Pay them back with a what?" Anybody who's following along? Pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Numbers chapter 6, may the Lord turn his face to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, the Lord will turn his face from you. If you withhold the blessing, if you try and hoard it all for yourself, the Lord turns his face from you, because the blessing that he gives us is meant to be given out to others, and not just to the people that we want to give it out to. Lest we not forget that he says in there, do not repay evil for evil, do not return insult for insult, or as Paul writes to the church in Rome, bless those who persecute you. Those who make your life the most miserable, you turn around and you offer them the same blessing that you've been given. And while it's not our blessing to give, through the power of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about for the past several weeks, our words are able to bring that blessing into somebody's life. Our words do hold the power. When we are walking with him, when we are believing in him, when we are trusting in the blessing that he's put on our life and the security that he has put on our life, we have the power to take that out to others. You may not have the financial resources to cover all the needs that your friends have, or all the needs that your non-friends have, whether they're just someone you don't know or whether they're someone that you might actually consider an enemy. You may not have the financial resources to do that, but that's okay, because that's not the limit of a blessing. You do have within you the power to pray a blessing over somebody else. You do have the power within you, the power to introduce somebody to where true hope, peace, and true comfort comes from. Some, and in some circumstances, you may have the power within you to help meet a physical need that somebody has. You do have the power within you to listen when somebody needs to talk. We have the power within us to bring a blessing into somebody else's life. See, in Numbers chapter 6, and oftentimes when we're in this setting and we worship, it's really about him. But Numbers chapter 6 is actually one of those promises that he's putting over us. Now, that's still about him, because it shows what kind of a God he is, that he would even offer that to people who are going to mess up over and over and over again, to people who are going to walk around incredibly insecure, to be willing to say, hey, I'm here for you in those moments of insecurity. It says a lot about him that he would put that over us. Imagine as Aaron and his sons and the priests that would follow him, and this still happens to this day in a lot of churches around the world. Imagine these words being said over a congregation, and the congregation saying them right back over the person who's saying them to them. That our desire would be not that you get what's coming to you, not that you get what you deserve, but that the Lord would bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Hey, I don't agree with much about your lifestyle at all, but I'm going to pray over you that the Lord would bless you and he would keep you and his face would shine upon you. Hey, you and I, we get in a lot of fights over a lot of different things, but I'm going to pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. And I don't mean like the bless you like they say down in the South where it's, oh, bless his heart, when really they mean, oh, what an idiot. I mean the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. On your family, on your children, their children that are maybe here and there may be the Lord bless you and keep you. And even as we look at that song that was written right before a bunch of shutdowns, talk about a good time for it, because we really blew up at each other over the last year. Within the church, out of the church, within the nation, around the globe. What a great time for a reminder that this is the prayer that we're supposed to be praying for others. But even within that song, what feels like this throwaway chorus sometimes, because if you look at it on a piece of paper, it says the word amen 4 times, and then it says repeat, which means you sing it 8 times, and sometimes we sing it 16 times in a row, and I know that can feel repetitive, and I know that if we don't stop and remember what that simple word means, that it can feel like this throw, kind of like hallelujah, it can feel like this throwaway word because we don't stop and think about what it really means. Amen is not a, hey, God, I've been talking to you for a while, and now I'm signing off, so in your name, amen. You know, that's often how we treat the word amen. It's this goodbye, but the word amen actually means so be it. So think about what we sing. Think about what we sing. Think about what was written in Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and give you peace. So be it. Not, and that's it, but so be it. I believe. With this word amen, what we're saying is, I believe that this can and will actually happen because it's a promise that came straight from God. So be it. I think we lose in our song sometimes, and we lose in our language sometimes, what we're actually saying. Whereas when we stop and we truly remember what it is that we're singing and what it is that we're saying, the power behind those words just explodes. This isn't just goodbye, 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 goodbye. Now I'm going to sing that again. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. But I believe that God wants me to tell you, even my enemy, even my friend, even my family member, even that family member that I'm currently fighting with because we're, you know, siblings or parent and child or whatever it is, I'm still going to say these words over you because I've been given this blessing and I'm here to send it out. And the church where we came from in Casper, Wyoming, the missions committee about 2 or 3 years ago came up with a new phrase that they go by. And every year when Faith Promise comes around, and Faith Promise is this time in the Church of God when, I believe it started in the Church of God anyway, where churches will ask people in the congregation to say, hey, I don't know where this money is going to come from, but I'm going to commit this much money towards missions. And over the course of the year, it's as extra money comes in, they give that money towards the pledge that they had made towards missions. But at that time of year, they came up with a new theme in the missions committee while they were taking the Faith Promise pledges. And it became the theme of blessed to bless. Three simple words with so much power in them. We are not blessed just so we can live nice, comfortable, easy lives. But we are blessed so that we can introduce others to the security of a God who gets down on his knee and pulls us in and says, I'm here for you. So we're going to sing that song one more time, and that's what we're going to do over the course of this next month, is as we look at these songs, we're going to sing it before the message, we're going to sing it after the message, after we've stopped and we've really looked at what is in this song. But as we sing it this time, I want you to do two things. First, I want you to receive the blessing. I want you to receive that peace, that comfort that God is offering to you. And that may mean that you need to stand there or sit there or come up here or turn to somebody else and have them pray with you. It may mean that you need to not sing and just receive this over you. Just like the Israelite people would have done, as Aaron and the priests would over them say these words, the Lord bless you and keep you, may his face shine upon you. May he give you peace. There are people in here today, I have no doubts, that need to just stop for a moment and receive those words over them. And then as you've received it, I want you to give it. I want you to consciously, maybe you turn to somebody near you and you actually sing these words to them, or if you want, you can just say them to them. You don't have to sing it. But maybe it's right now, physically, you turn and you say these words or you sing these words over somebody, or maybe you need to consciously stop and think about that person that God is telling you right now that you need to be praying this prayer of blessing over. And he might put somebody in your life that you currently don't like. Don't ignore it. I would go even further and say after this, the bigger challenge is let them know. Let them know that you hope and you pray for peace and comfort and blessing in their life. Because words have power.